What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 555th episode, episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah.
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know. I've had a stressful cat week. My cat got into a few things that she wasn't supposed to get into, and then last night ran into a door as I was closing it. So I've just been worried about my cat all week. That's pretty much it. But she's fine. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty certain at this point. I have spent multiple nights staying up way too late observing her. I think she's fine.
All right. That laugh you heard was Greg. He's back.
Rumors of my firing were greatly over-exaggerated. So those of you in my DMs, it's fine. I was on, as I had said multiple times leading up to my break, on vacation. I went to a place for a vacation for the first time in 4 years, and I was there, and then I came home.
Yeah, and now you're back. Crazy how that works.
You know, the thing called vacation.
Can't wait to take one.
We can only dream.
That was a very expensive vacation. Boy, that place is expensive.
We did a bonus episode last week. It was myself, Hannah, and Bobby. We just really talked about the DLC. Obviously, the Pokemon Presents, there was a lot to cover. There's still a lot to cover. So Greg's here now, and the game updated to 1.2, which it updated the day of the Pokemon Presents. And I wanted to talk about it, and we knew the notes before the game updated, but I got a bone to pick with these notes. Because
the
I
notes
was very...
in particular, just the notes, not the people that wrote the notes, just the notes. You notes are poorly organized and poorly worded, and I do not care for how you've arranged yourself on the page.
How dare you?
How dare you put bug fixes there?
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the notes of what was updated. There's a new bug, I guess, that I was debating about talking about. I don't want to like fear monger of like, don't play Sword and don't play Sword and Shield.
Well, play Sword and Shield because that game's good. Go ahead. Actually, go back to Sword and Shield. That game slaps.
I've Scarlet been thinking about Violet, going back to it because of this bug.
Take your chances at this point with the little SV. Because you may never be able to play your game again.
And then there's a new Pokemon Go Community Day, and we didn't talk about Pokemon Sleep. So those are the three topics we're going to do today. But let's start with the notes. Let's start with the 1.2 patch now here. Okay, so originally before the patch came out, they said that there was some more things they were going to do in the patch that was going to surprise and delight us or whatever. Maybe those weren't those exact words, but...
It may have surprised us, but I highly doubt the delight part came in.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so the new features added. We got three bullet points here. I'm unacceptable. I want four. Okay, so the first thing is they added the Hidden Treasures of Area Zero DLC for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Games, they can be accessed via the main menu, and then
for some reason, when I watched the trailer, I thought you bought one, and it was for both games, but that does not seem to be the case again.
No, you buy one,
you have to buy two different DLCs, but you still have to buy them individually for each game.
Yes. They're functionally the same.
The same for Sword and Shield.
It was.
Because people were buying... the wrong version, and then Nintendo was being
trailer,
like, "Oh, you can't return DLC." And yeah, they were like, "But I can't." I don't know how you buy the wrong version.
Oh, it's easy. You booked a flight for the complete wrong date, so don't even come at me for how do you buy it for the wrong version.
This podcast is over. I didn't buy it. You didn't take 2.5 weeks off, Greg, to come back to attack me about date man. The calendars are hard.
They are not hard. They are hard-coded dates. It's been that way for 1,500 years or whatever the current calendar that we're using is in place. I don't know. Al, tell us all about calendars and Slack.
I had a good time with Nick not going to PAX. the DLC is there to purchase. It's $5 more expensive. I don't know if we talked about that last week, but Sword and Shield.
Yeah,
was,
why is it more expensive? Twice.
Sword and Shield was $29.99. This is $34.99. Trainers can enjoy online competitions and friendly competitions in the Battle Stadium. Entries are now open for the new online competition, Paldea Prologue. So I think the like 40 people out there that still play single battles and haven't transitioned into double battles because it's too complicated for them, I think they're happy that you can now have a longer timer in single battles. So finally, you can do 60 minutes of rapid spin spikes.
Is that the new singles meta for this one?
It hasn't changed. I mean, it's always the meta.
The timer seemed pretty big. The people were who do play that format were very excited.
They were.
About it.
They were. Finally, they can toxic stall even longer in singles.
Yeah, that's how you win.
The dream. And then the other new feature they added was players can now connect their games to Pokemon Go. So this was one of the surprise and delights is we have Pokemon Go compatibility. Actually, we'll get to that, but I think that is really cool. Adjustments, feature adjustments. They added functionality to the boxes because they were lacking.
Yeah, they didn't do anything. They still did add in mass release, though.
From a Pokemon's summary, players can now change Pokemon nicknames, markings, held items, and mark or ribbon related titles, as well as reorder moves, have Pokemon remember or forget moves, and use TMs. This in itself, great. Perfect. No complaint. Actually a great change. It was really weird that you couldn't.
It's weird to say that it was a great change because everybody assumed it should have done that from the beginning. So we caught up with what everybody wanted. So thank you.
We're back to older
games.
Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised it's not in bug fixes.
Yeah, like it felt like that was a bug.
Hey, that is a feature, Greg. Yes. We are blessing you with the ability to change your marks in the box, which you could do in past games, but not this one.
You can do that before. Well, it's a feature now, maybe, not a bug. If we don't call it a bug, it's not.
We're going to charge you an extra $5 in the DLC for that one.
For that one. Oof.
Players can now also swap out held items by pressing the Y button. I think old games did this as well, but, you know, that's back. Players can now select all boxes while moving Pokemon or items in the party box view and held item views. Okay, that for sure was a thing in old games. What they're saying here is you could take, like, 7 Pokemon and then hover over a box and just drop them in, and that you couldn't do before. And you can do it now. You could do it in past games. That's back. And then when in battle team view, Pokemon in your boxes that are assigned to a battle team will now have their icons displayed in a darker hue if those Pokemon member are in a battle team being currently displayed. It's just it just changed some color so you know which Pokemon are battle teamed or not. Okay, some bug fixes. There's a lot here. debatable if they were fixed or not, but... there was a bug that prevented the opposing Terra Pokemon HP from visually reflecting damage dealt by certain moves, such as Play Rough.
Such as Play Rough, yeah. Really?
Or damage dealt at the same time that a certain status condition is applied. This actually happened a lot in Greninja where it would be paralyzed, but it would take like a full turn for it to reflect paralysis, causing the Terra... overall, this would cause the Terra Pokemon's HP gauge to fluctuate in an unusual manner. This has been fixed. I think it's been pretty confirmed that that specifically Play Rough is fixed. The first time we heard about the Play Rough issue was with Charizard back in the day. And it was funny because during that time, it was like, was it huge power? Was it Play Rough? Was it this? Was it that? And to me, it was always Play Rough because I would see non-huge power Azumarils use Play Rough and the HP power would... Mm-hmm. 1 minute it would be 5%, the next minute it would be 55%. So that's fixed, I guess. Azumarill users out there, over the moon.
Rejoice. Bring them back. Bring them all back. We need them back in. We're lost without you.
Here's the thing, though. That bug didn't stop any Azumarill user from bringing Azumarill to a raid.
Why? It's not the player's fault. It's the game. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
There was a bug that caused all Pokemon on your side to faint at once, despite their HP indicating that they still have HP. This could occur in the Black Terra Crystal Raids against Pokemon with the Mightiest Mark. This has been fixed. I've had this happen. Not a lot. I've had it happen like maybe once or twice during like Cinderace, but glad to know that was a bug because it was very weird to be like, oh,
we're all dead.
I was watching health, and we were looking pretty green, and now we're looking pretty empty.
That doesn't make sense.
And then you kind of think of like, oh, did like Reflect wear off, and then did Cinderace just happen to crit everyone?
to fire off four things in a row and hit everybody at the exact same time? Yeah.
Well, that was a bug.
Terror raids.
There was a bug that prevented players from entering any input in the game that could occur if a Terra Pokemon took actions while a player was choosing the target of the move. This has been fixed. I disagree with that one, but okay. errors could occur when someone connecting to a Terra Raid battle saw a different Pokemon displayed on the stream than what the host saw. That has been fixed. I have never seen that. A bug could occur when that caused a player joining a Terra Raid battle from the Terra Battle search screen be brought to a Terra Raid battle against a different Pokemon than they have seen. That has been fixed. Also, I've never had that issue. Is that supposed to be like, oh, I saw a Pincurchin, and then all of a sudden I'm fighting a Hydreigon?
Yeah. But I also have had the thing where I have selected the right Pokemon, but the display in the front shows something completely not what I picked. I'm like, where did that come from? And then it goes with the one that I didn't pick. That's how I ended up in that one raid with a level 30 Timpole. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I did not pick this. I did not do this, but we're going to make the best of it, I guess.
And then there was a bug that caused Terra Raid Battle Crystals to stop appearing for a set amount of time that could occur under certain circumstances. That has been fixed. So going back to the one that says, like, prevented a player from entering any input, I think the thing that most players had frustration with was sometimes when you go to, like, heal cheer or defense cheer, you would get stuck in that menu. That issue is still there.
Yeah, you still
that
get stuck.
Not been fixed.
I mean, we could speculate maybe that's why randoms in your raids don't heal cheer because they're terrified of getting stuck. But like,
I don't blame them.
But yeah, and when you're trying to play like a healer, like a Klefki or a Grimmsnarl or something, and you're like, okay, I gotta go heal cheer. I do notice that it happens at certain times. Like, it definitely happens when the boss is like about to clear, where it's like, I'm more likely to get stuck versus the boss is just, you know, using high jump kick because all Pokemon know high jump kick. But it is a very frustrating issue still to get stuck in the cheer menu.
You're just in there and you can't do anything but watch everybody else keep doing the
raid. Yeah, you kind of hope like you die because that'll at least get you out of the menu faster.
Please let me die and then I can do something.
Type matchups against Pokemon that have fainted will no longer appear while selecting move or target during double battles. I've seen this bug before. This is like if you're doing rank ladder or just this is specifically for like online battles. But I've noticed if you're doing a 4v4, and this would only really work for 4v4. Actually, it wouldn't work for singles because there's not two Pokemon on the field. Let's say you were doing a 4v4 and you have you're against like a Hydreigon and a Grimmsnarl. And then the Hydreigon dies, and so it's your two Pokemon against just a Grimmsnarl, and one of your Pokemon is Garchomp. It would have said that the Dragon Claw is super effective against the Grimmsnarl. I've seen this tons of times because I watch competitive, mm-hmm. But it's not super effective against the Grimmsnarl. It's saying that it was super effective because there used to be a Hydreigon on the field, and it would have been super effective against that.
I'm pretty sure I ran into that during maybe a gym battle or something as well. I know I ran into that during normal gameplay.
So that would have been the Ghost Girl. Rhyme.
It might have been. It might have also just been, let's see, one Pokemon fainted and then the other was sent out and it was right in that moment.
I think if you're a competitive player, if your whole thing is competitive, I don't think you use that feature anyways because you're probably already thinking, like, I know what move I need to hit against Grimmsnarl, and it's definitely not Dragon Claw. But I definitely saw people go like, oh, well, it says this is super effective. And I'm like, that's not true. That's not going to do any damage because that's a fairy Pokemon. And then they learned the hard way that did indeed do no damage. So that has been fixed. We have fixed a bug in which Zoroark that have terrestrialized and was disguised as another Pokemon via its illusion ability could have been identified by Zoroark using the check target option. Don't know what that is, but okay. We have fixed them.
It's when you focus. It's when you're aiming, I think.
But it like says terrestrialize.
Pressing the trigger button.
That has terrestrialize.
Wouldn't it be one of the roaming?
No, this is specifically saying a bug when Zorark has terrestrialized. Okay. I wonder if in battle, if Zorark terrestrialized, it revealed that it was Zorark, even though it hasn't been revealed that it's Zorark. I think that's what they're saying. Check target would be when you hit the Y button to check if there's like reflect up or to check if like something is negative one. So I think in that menu. Look, there's not a lot of competitive Zorarks going around. It's probably a very specific bug. We have fixed a bug where the type matchup for targeting Zorark had terrestrialized disguised as another Pokemon. So this is kind of piggybacking off the first one. We have fixed a bug where the stats of Dondozo with Atasaguri in its mouth increased Dondozo's used order up when the move should have been negated. For example, if a Pokemon used Protect. We have fixed a bug where the effects of Destiny Bond failed to activate if a terrestrialized Pokemon the turn after used Destiny Bond and then failed. That seems like a very specific bug, but okay. I don't think it says here, but I swear I read it. We're reading this off NintendoLife.com. But I think they said they fixed a bug where a Pokemon would randomly reappear on the battlefield in a double battle. You couldn't attack it or anything. It would just like show up.
Hi, I'm back. I'm the ghost of the thing you killed.
Yeah,
I'm here to haunt your battle.
Some other things. We addressed an issue that made the game prone to forcibly close at certain locations. As a result of this fix, there may be fewer Pokemon and people displayed in certain towns or the wild. I think this is like a pretty big one. There are still people that tell me they've never had their game crash, which...
Bless your heart.
I think you guys are all lying. I think this is a big conspiracy.
Heart.
You guys are all working. You guys
Not
are all
lying.
In the Discord
we know
together.
Almost 200 hours.
We know you don't play the actual game, Hannah. You are just turning it on and letting it sit on the screen for 200 hours.
No, I've tried
that. I
think
it would have crashed then.
Yeah, I've tried that. I've tried standing there for like 30 minutes not doing anything, and the second I pick up my controller, the game crashes.
I'm out. I'm done. How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably up to like... maybe like 15, 16 crashes in the 350 hours I've had. To be fair, since the update, I haven't had it crash zero times.
I mean, to be fair, neither have I, but I only played twice.
I wish this bullet point was more specific, because it says, as a result of the fix, there may be fewer Pokemon or people in certain areas or towns. And of course, I saw social media run crazy with this. I saw people just make up statistics like they're removing 25% of all the Pokemon. That's just not true, right? Like, I went through.
It's 30. Blah.
I went through. Yeah, it's actually 50%. Thank you very much. I went through I did the whole map, right? Since the update 1.2 did the whole map. And
you went to Leg Lake.
I went to Leg. I went to Leg Forest. I went to Leg Mountain. Like I've been everywhere. And I thought to myself, there are probably less Pokemon here, but I can't remember. Or like it's so hard to tell because I'm still seeing Pokemon. Like I'm not in Leg.
It's not that noticeable.
Yeah, it's not like I'm in Leg and I'm like, wow, there are no Pokemon around me. Dang you, Game Freak.
Like, yeah, the world still feels very populated.
Yeah. Yeah, and as for, like, NPCs, you would have had to been, like, documenting them or writing them down, because I've been in towns, and I'm like, this all looks the same. I
knew everybody's name in every town, so if they got rid of Frederico, I'm going to be furious.
We have fixed a bug in which a Pokemon that is not part of the Paldea Pokedex, so that would be, like, Charizard, was displayed as being registered to the Paldea Pokedex after being obtained through a link trade. I'm not 100% sure what that is, but okay. Certain actions prevented main characters' expressions from changing until the game was closed and reopened. This book has been
I ran into that multiple times. It was very frustrating.
They fixed a bug with battle rank rewards. They have fixed a bug which a player may have not received the Master Rank Ribbon if they have registered several battle teams but not have used the battle team in the first slot when winning ranked battles in Master Ball tier. We have fixed a bug in which a Pokemon that you have caught may not have listened to your commands in ordinance of what was written in the profile app. So it would be like if a Pokemon was caught as at level XX or below, they would listen to your commands. If that Pokemon was link traded back to you from another trainer.
Oh, I see.
So that was,
and we had just had a discussion in the Slack the day before the patch notes were released about exactly that, trying to figure out if it was a bug or not.
We have fixed a bug in which new information may not have been added to your Pokedex after you receive a shiny Pokemon or a Pokemon caught by a trainer who played a different language via surprise trade if you have already had that species registered to your Pokedex. Objects such as Pokeballs could be displayed in certain areas was an unintentional. This has been fixed. Bummer. What about the Slowbros that appeared in
Yeah, keep the Slowbros though, because that was amazing.
Passerbys are no longer displayed during certain battles that take place in towns or during the main story, and a number of other bugs have been fixed. So a couple things not listed here. I guess not a bug, but if you played online battles, you could only play in the schoolyard. Which, let me tell you, after playing 3 years of Sword and Shield and being in a huge stadium, having grandma cheer behind you with like four kids is not really the competitive scene that I personally want.
But, you know, I'm happy she showed up.
Yeah, she keeps showing up.
It's hard for her to get out of the house these days. So the fact that she comes to your pathetic battles really shows her love
it's
for
true.
You.
But now you can battle in the Elite Four room. You can see that room once again. And then
but there's nobody in that room.
Yeah,
is it just the four Elite Four members going like, why are we here?
No, they're not.
We have stuff
empty.
To do
it's
except
empty.
For the toddler that needs to go get a diaper change.
And then I think you can battle on that beach area where you first fight Nimona. So there are more stadiums. And I think they updated the camera in battles. So it's a little more dynamic. I wasn't sure if this was a bug. It's not mentioned here. I verified it before 1.2. I verified it after 1.2. This is infuriating to me. And people on the internet are dumb and they didn't understand what I was saying. And I'm very mad about it because I think it does take away a lot of what I think is fun about Pokemon, which I'm going to say RNG is fun about Pokemon, but like, that it is to an extent. That's why people shiny hunt. But I think it was in Gen 5 they introduced, or maybe Gen 6, they introduced critical catching. And what that is it was like an increased chance that you're a guaranteed catch, or not a guaranteed catch. I think it was technically behind the code. It's like times 8. So like a quick ball when you use it on turn 1 is like times 5. A repeat ball is always like times 4 as long as you have the Pokemon registered. But it would take, so if you had a quick ball and then critical catch activated, it would multiply those two together, right? And it would be almost a critical catch. So I feel like, I know specifically in Sword and Shield, the more Pokemon you caught per your dex, the more likely you were to get critical catches. And I was hitting critical catches left and right in Pokemon Sword and Shield. It was great, right? It's a great feeling, in my opinion, to be like, ah, this Pokemon has a really bad catch rate, or, oh, I've thrown like 20 Pokeballs at this Pokemon. And then all of a sudden, critical catches, you catch it, feels great, right? Critical catches have been around for 10 plus years in Pokemon games. They exist in Pokemon Go. They act how they should in Pokemon Go, right? Like, I think Pokemon Go, it's like a 1 in 200 chance to crit catch or something like that. I don't know. Niantic will never tell you. In this game, that doesn't exist anymore. And if it did exist, it's impossible to tell. And I made a video about this, and this is why I say people are dumb. Because half of the comments were like, well, you're using a Pokeball. The ball doesn't matter. The Pokemon I am catching doesn't matter. You could literally test this yourself. It is the easiest thing to test. So what happens in Scarlet and Violet is that if you're looking at a Lechonk and you go to throw a Pokeball to Lechonk, and the first time you catch Lechonk, you'll get the one shake, two shake, three shake, click, and then you catch Lechonk, right? Every Lechonk you catch after that Lechonk will always critical catch, but it's not critical catching. That's the thing. It is just giving you the critical catch animation for a successful catch. So why this is infuriating is once you know about it, you're never going to unsee it. But what it means is every Pokeball you throw, if it doesn't shake in the air, which is the critical catch animation, so the ball Fear soars, hits the Pokemon. It does this weird shake, and you're like, okay, it's going to critical catch, and then it clicks in the air. If it doesn't do that, it's never going to catch. So every time you throw a Pokeball at a Pokemon now, if it doesn't click in the air, it's a failed catch, no matter what. And it's a bummer because the suspense, there's so many suspenseful things in Pokemon, right? There's like when you're like battling Mewtwo and he's one HP and he's asleep and you're on like your 50th Pokeball and it's like one shake, two shake, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's the third shake. And then all of a sudden it breaks out. You're like, nah, right? Like it's like that. But you don't get that anymore, right? Because if it hits that Lechonk and then it drops to the ground and you're like one shake, two shake, three shake, you already know that it didn't catch. So again, you can test this. As long as the Pokemon is registered in your Pokedex, you will always critical catch it. So ultimately, there is no suspense because once you know that it's going to critical catch, you're like, well, the three shakes is useless because I know it's not going to catch. Secondly, it seems that critical catches are completely gone because if there is an increased catch rate of critical catch, you would never see it because it's just pretending everything is critical catch. Thirdly, if I guess you would be able to test it before you caught a Pokemon of like, oh, I don't have a Stonejourner registered in my dex and I just critical caught it. That's great. But that doesn't fix the afterthought of like every Stonejourner after this would always be critical catch. And thirdly, to all the people being like, well, the legendary Pokemon didn't do that. Yeah, because they're not registered in your dex. You can only catch one of them.
Which means there's still the good suspense that you're looking for the legendary Pokemon.
That's
and
true.
And I would argue that there is still suspense. It's just shortened. It's just a shorter length of time. It's like when you're doing a raid in Pokemon Go and you're down to your very last ball. And if it shakes once and doesn't break out, you know that you caught it. That's a shortened length of time. But if it shakes once and flees, that's all it's going to do. That's a hard analogy for people who don't understand that mechanic. Sorry.
I get the we're going to just crit catch all of the successful catches to save time. But I feel like you're instead also wasting a lot of time that I have to sit through a failed animation that I know is 100% failed. Like, again, it removes the suspensefulness of the three shakes because as soon as it drops to the ground, I know that it's not going to work. And I have to sit through that. Obviously, if you always use quick balls and you always use repeat balls, you have a higher catch rate. So you probably see that fail animation less. But if you're trying to catch things in luxury balls, which don't have increased catch rate, or premier balls don't have increased catch rate, you have to sit through that animation a lot. And again, I do think that the magic of critical catch is just gone at this point. Like, I can now that I've realized that this is a thing, I could go back and look at all my shiny catches and be like, every single one of those were a critical catch, because I don't think I ever caught a shiny that I didn't already have registered in my Pokedex to begin with. Again, the reason I bring that up is not to now ruin the magic that critical catch is kind of busted in this game, but it wasn't mentioned in the show notes.
Yeah, it was not mentioned in the show notes at all, and we need to talk about that.
It wasn't mentioned in the patch update, so I don't know if that's intentional or not. I do think there is value in speeding up the catch rate, and I think Legends did this really well, where Legends would... it was hard to see in Legends because mostly that color palette was bad and everything looked brown and the Pokeballs were wooden, which are also a shade of brown. But when you caught in Legends, it would do the three shakes as it like fell to the ground. So it was saving time that way. Again, I think there is value in speeding up catching. I don't think this is the right way to do it. Or maybe it is still bugged and they haven't figured it out.
It's probably still bugged. Let's be real. It is probably still bugged.
But like for sure different in this game. Because again, in Sword and Shield, it was proven that the more Pokemon you caught, the more likely you were to get critical catch. So it was like, even if you didn't care about the shiny charm, filling out your Pokedex made your catching just better. Because we deal in science here, and because we are very scientific, and because we only use the world's best information, I did a Twitter poll.
Oh, good grief.
We got 2,526 votes. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. Could be more people. Sure. Could be less people.
Could be.
Could be a lot of things. The question was simple. Do we think the recent update to Pokemon Scarlet and Violet fixed some of the performance issues? 46% says yes, it feels better. 54% says no, it feels the same. I don't know what to believe anymore. Because when I booted up the game, I went to the first thing I did after the update is I went to the lake and I drove around the lake and I was like, this feels better. And then I went to the forest and I was like, this feels better. And then when I was just going between places, I was like, I can't tell it if this is a placebo or not. I can't tell if it actually is better or not. So
you need to have one game side by side with the other.
Ooh,
that
would be a good test.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be a good
test. Except, can you launch a non-updated one? Can you force it to launch without updating?
Yeah, you just can't connect to the internet. Do you guys think it feels better?
No.
I think it does, but I know I want it to. And so I don't really trust myself.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of placebo effect. Like, you've been told that it feels better. And
yeah.
Until you run into the major glitches, it's very hard for us to judge our own memories of, is it faster or is it slower? And I think people who really, 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 really want the game to be better are going to say, oh, yeah, this is better. And people like me are like, it feels the same, but I'm also I'm no longer invested in this game. Like, they have sort of lost me on this game, and none of the bug fixes that they feel like they've put in have really addressed any of the issues that I was having with it.
And the none box of stuff?
There's like, I don't know, it doesn't feel fun. Like, the raids aren't great. Like, after the patch, when I did those terror raids, I was still running into menu hangups. Like, the things that I still actually do post game were not feeling any better. And I'm like, this is a nothing burger right now. Like, you didn't really address any of the performance issues that people are having. You alluded to them, but you didn't really address them. You fixed bugs that are in your notes are very, very specific. But nothing like, hey, we know you would fall through the earth sometimes. That's been fixed. Like, and so it's really hard to be like, oh, it's so much better when the things that I actually do, which are terror raid battles, feel exactly the same. I still get hung up on things. I haven't seen an Azumarill come in a long time, so I haven't run into the play rough bug in a while. So I'm not into it. So it does not feel any different to me.
I already said I want it to be better, so I don't necessarily trust how I feel about it. But I do think that going and running around the lake, going and running around the places that did lag substantially before the patch, I do think it feels better. It's easier to just go and mindlessly collect items when running around the lake, which is something I've done a few times. So I had been holding off on getting the physical copies of these games until after the patch, because for reasons, I had to get the digital copy when it came out, and I don't usually like having the digital copy. So patch came out, I ordered the physical copies, and I have them coming tomorrow. And I may just try to do that side by side of check to see whether without the update and with the update, is there a substantial difference there, at least when running around. I agree with Greg that I don't feel like the raids are much better. Which is unfortunate, because that really is the main thing that they're trying to use to get you to yep. come back.
Yeah.
I like running around the map. I like doing random things outside of the raids. So I'm still happy with the game. I still want to live in this world. I'm still really loving these games. But the raids themselves still are not great.
The first, 15 minutes I had with the update, I was like, man, the boxes are fixed. The everything feels better. And then the more I played it, I played a lot this past week, I was just like more and more disappointed. Like, again, the first 15 minutes, I was like, man, I'm so happy with this. And then it kind of started to unravel of like, oh, wait, this isn't fixed. This isn't fixed. I got stuck in the cheer menu. Like, that was such a big in raids, getting stuck in the cheer menu feels awful.
Huge disappointment.
And it there's 400 Pokemon in the game, right? If they were like, I would rather them fix the cheer menu thing than the play rough thing. Like there are 700 moves in this game. I can pick a different fairy type move, right? Like I need to cheer in every raid. And that's the thing that's not fixed. The box thing felt much better. So that was good. But again, there was just other things where I'm like, why hasn't this been fixed?
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you put mass release back in? There are so many little things that have existed before that you just don't, you still don't do. And it is sort of frustrating to be like, yeah, these are bugs that you need to fix. There are still bugs that exist that you haven't fixed, you haven't acknowledged. There's still performance issues. Like, you may have made it slightly better, but I think you needed to make it significantly better for people to really be like, this is amazing. They finally gave me the game that I wanted. And they just haven't delivered that yet.
I know, like, the speculation is like, Game Freak is rushed and needs more time for these games and whatever. I think, if anything, this game shows it the most. The fact that you couldn't even do the basic box movements that you could do in every Pokemon game before this, and like, oh, you added, like, you're like, it was great to be like, oh, marks are coming back, because you never know, right? Anytime Game Freak adds a feature, it's like, are seasons in Black and White coming back? Nope, no. That's only for that game. So it's like, nope. Oh, are marks only for Sword and Shield? Like, are alphas only for Legends Arceus? Like, we don't know until the next game. The fact that they like added in those features and were like, you can now do this. It's like, we could have always done that. It took right. you 3 months to like add it and fix it. It's a bit frustrating. And I know like the reason like they can't delay is because of the anime and the card game and all that stuff. And
it's really hard to say that it's rushed, right? Like, it's hard to say because we don't know what were decisions that they felt they didn't need to include. And then once the game was out, people are like, why did you get rid of this? And they're like, oh, we didn't think anybody cared. Like, it's hard to determine what was missed because they didn't think about it, what was a deliberate decision, and what was because they had a time crunch and couldn't complete it. And it's really hard to say, like, well, this is part of their box functionality. So given the fact that you all believe they copy and paste, that it would have had to have been a decision to not copy and paste that code, right? Like,
right.
It could always do it, so they deliberately chose not to include it for a reason. It's really hard to divine out exactly where in the process it either was missed, was a bug, or they didn't feel they needed to include it for some reason. So I always push against the idea that it was rushed, because every game, every project, everything is rushed at the end.
Yeah, oh,
there is no project that's like, we were done 7 months before. We've been coasting on nothing forever. Everybody is working on everything up until the minute that they can't. I don't like talking about it was rushed, because we don't know what they prioritized. We don't know what their decisions were. And every project is chaos until you, they're like, just get it out the door. I do think, I've talked about this elsewhere, I do think what we are seeing across the board on all AAA games is the industry turning against QA and seeing quality assurance as skippable as part of their business, because they'll just let the player base do it for free and they'll weather the bad PR for a while. And I think that is a bigger issue that we are seeing across multiple platforms, across multiple instances, where they are doing the bare minimum of quality assurance because that's expensive and they don't want to pay those people, and just saying, you know, there's no
also
such thing as
happen.
Yeah. And also there's no such thing as bad PR. And I think that's really hurting the industry everywhere right now.
Yeah, I mean, you make a really good point, Greg, is like, if the whole problem with Sword and Shield, or what people were mad about Sword and Shield, was the copy and paste, like, boxes should have been copy and pasted. Like, what they added in this update was everything we could have done in Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
For boxes.
It was already there. It's roughly the same engine. It doesn't make sense to say, oh, it was rushed. the functionality was there. It's there across multiple games.
Could they just not get it fixed in time and then removed it, or did they not think it was important enough? Or now that I don't know, it's very frustrating to be like, the boxes here suck.
Yeah.
And now they added the thing that we wanted that should have been there day one, but they're still not perfect, right? Like, there's still things in the boxes that could be significantly better. I think there's a bigger conversation to be had of, like, I don't think 32 boxes of 30 is the correct way to organize Pokemon going forward. I think that system in itself is outdated. And I wonder if people are feeling that now that features were removed and then they came back and then they're just like, this is still not great. Like, I don't know if anyone's like rushing back to the game because the boxes are fixed, right?
Like, no. I think things like the boxes are hardcore fan issues.
Yeah.
And they have the feeling, true or not, they feel that they can, most companies feel this, that they can abuse hardcore fans more because they're more invested. So they can do more frustrating things to those people without paying a price, which is sort of a generally bad thing, the way that companies are behaving right now, that, like, we know you have your money, so we can deliver whatever to you and give you back things slowly and you will be happy about it. Like, a lot of companies, I think, have a very cynical view about people who are very loyal to their product right now. I think that is just a general thing in the field.
Yeah, I would hope, though, that there are also people at Game Freak who love to play their own games. And they're like, hey, Bob, I need you to add that functionality back to the boxes. This is a...
I mean, I'm sure there are, but we already sort of know that Nintendo has a very... When we've heard stories that they have a very negative feedback atmosphere, right? Like, you have to be very careful about the things that you call out, particularly in Nintendo and these games, to be not seen as a problem. And I think that is a culture problem that we learned with Kit and Krista, that we didn't talk about the right things with them, that the feedback loop in these companies in particular, although they seem to be good places to work for, giving feedback or calling out problems seems to be received very negatively. And so they are, again, like, I think there's a fear in company of saying this is a problem, we need to add it back, and being a squeaky wheel, that, again, they're relying on the fan and the public groups to be the people who don't have to report to them and rely on their paycheck to be the loud squeaky wheel that they finally can say, well, we brought this up, we tried to let you know, but we didn't want to make a big thing about it. You know, I do think there is a slightly bad feedback culture in Game Freak and in Nintendo specifically.
Going back to whether the games are rushed or not, I don't know if they took the 3 months, game's been out for 3 months, and this update was on November 1st, I don't know if people would feel better about that. Like the games are still kind of a mess today. And I'm sure there are some people listening that are like, I haven't had any of these issues, or like everything runs fine for me. But like, it doesn't look any better, right? It's
right.
Still frame ready. To be fair, I haven't fallen through the floor since.
I mean, I think there is, if they had come out with this patch in the middle of December, people would have felt that they are being way more responsive than the beginning or the end of February, beginning of March. Because I think a lot of people feel this was very underwhelming. Like, there are bigger fish to fry and this is what you've done. This feels like the box fixes feels like you could have done that back in December. And that would have been a bigger win than 3 months into the game, when a lot of people are like, well, or like me, like, the game has kind of turned me off. And your response time of fixing things has been slow, and you still haven't really fixed the things that I do.
Well, they did add a couple new things, which I think were probably scheduled to line up with Pokemon Day anyways. I think,
right,
like, they, like, this was their like little surprise free update for Pokemon Day. We'll get to that after the break, but we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. And when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch?
The catch!
But after talking to them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you.
Look, if you hate your current phone bill, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month. Maybe you don't hate your current phone, but you want another phone. Maybe you want to be that person with two phones like me. And then people think you're just playing twice the amount of Pokemon Go. I'm not playing twice the amount of Pokemon Go, but you could be that person playing twice the amount of Pokemon Go for just $15 a month because you have two phones. But maybe you just want one phone. I can tell you by using Mint Mobile in Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Seattle, Boston, it works. It says a little 5G in the corner. I get the speeds. I log in. Pokemon Go working. You get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, and the plan shipped to your door for free. You can go to mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. That is mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. And you can cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month. This podcast is brought to you by Brilliant. Brilliant.org is the best way to learn math, science, computer science, all interactively. Look, are you struggling with your exams in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet? Brilliant can help you out. Thousands of lessons and new ones added every month. You can start bite-sized, or you can challenge yourself to learn more. Look, we all know that Pokemon makes you think, and Brilliant can help with that too. If you are a lifelong learner looking for a new challenge, you can get started for free by visiting brilliant.org/PKMNCAST, or you can click the link in our show notes. And Brilliant has a special offer for its super effective listeners. The first 200 who head over to brilliant.org/PKMNCAST will get 20% off Brilliant's annual premium membership. It's a brand new year, so why don't you learn something new over at brilliant.org? This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. You can stand out with a beautiful website. You can engage with your audience. You can sell anything. They just released a new selling attachment for merchandise. You can sell your products, content you create, and even your time.
Greg?
Yes.
Life is full of lots of problems.
Yes, absolutely.
And problems require solutions.
100%.
So I have a problem in that I love yarn.
Yep.
I love yarn crafting. Mm-hmm. I think this should be well known for the folks of our program. But yarn is very expensive, especially
absolutely.
The really good yarn from rare animal. I have recently discovered a YouTuber. I'm not going to mention their name because now they're going to be a competitor.
Okay.
That just does demonstrations and patterns of yarn crafting, and yarn companies send her free yarn.
Ooh. Oh,
expensive yarn.
Okay.
And she has a website. I went to it and I was like, this is an incredibly professional looking website that you have your patterns listed, that people can buy the patterns through the site. They can see your videos about how to make the patterns. They can learn about yarn. And I was like, all I need to do is make my own website.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I could literally copy everything that she has except
100% do it better.
I'll make my own patterns. Yeah. I'll like do it in the opposite direction and say this is the masculine version or something like that. And then I will get the free yarn. And you know what?
Yeah.
I can use Squarespace to do that.
You absolutely can. You can get people to rate your patterns. You could sell your patterns with the new selling tools. There are so many possibilities with a Squarespace website. Galleries of your beautiful yarn that you're getting. You could post reviews and email your loyal followers when your newest rare yarn find review is up. Easily done with Squarespace.
You can head over to squarespace.com/PKMNCAST for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use our code PKMNCAST to save 10% off your first purchase of website or domain. And we are back from our break. Okay, so we talked about this last week, or a couple days ago, I guess. They added Walking Wake and Iron Leaves as new Paradox Pokemon to Scarlet and Violet. They exist. They'll be here until March 12th, I think. I would assume that we'll get a new seven star or a new something when those end. I wouldn't be surprised if when this podcast goes up, we'll know what that is. But also, who knows?
Who knows?
They're on their own timeline here.
Janine is also on vacation, so
yeah, I think everyone is maybe in agreement that that was going to come Pokemon Day regardless of issues or not. I think the other thing that was going to come Pokemon Day regardless of issues or not is the Vivian compatibility that they added. So now I think the one that was in the game currently was the fancy pattern, if I remember.
Is it fancy or is it modern?
It's not modern.
Modern is like blue, isn't it?
Modern is red and blue, I think.
Oh, modern is red and blue from southeastern U.S. I have some Vivian up here. there's too many of them.
Vivian.
They added compatibility to Pokemon Go, which I think is really great. I think that's overall a positive. I think it's a fun way to interact between the two. Ideally, what you do is just like in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. In Pokemon Go, there's a little switch button that appears in Scarlet and Violet. If you go under Mystery Gift and you go to that, they added Connect to Pokemon Go. Ideally, you connect between the two. And then in Pokemon Go, you pick one of your postcards and then you send it to your Switch game. You still keep the postcard in the mobile version, so you don't lose it. So if you had a postcard from, I don't know, Will, who is in Hawaii right now, and then you send that postcard to your... I don't think he sent me a postcard now that I'm thinking about this.
No.
I've gotten a couple.
Oh, my goodness. So if Will sent you a postcard from Hawaii, you would then send that to your copy of Scarlet and Violet. And then
I sent some people postcards from Florida, so...
Oh, boy. Thank you for taking that risk of going to Florida, Greg.
I paid for the risk of going to Florida, so let's...
So Hawaii would give you the ocean, Vivian, and then you, instead of the current only single Vivian that would spawn in Scarlet and Violet, the ocean ones would start spawning for 24 hours. So this is really great because it encourages you to play Pokemon Go. If you do play Pokemon Go and you like the Vivian stuff, which I think most players in Pokemon Go really did like the Vivian stuff that they did. It's like the one win Niantic had in the last 12 months. You can then move those over. And then you can shiny hunt them or just collect them. I think this is the first time ever to not including Pokemon Go that realistically you could get every Vivian with your own trainer ID. You could collect Vivian through Pokemon Home. You could collect them through X and Y. But like X and Y had that weird like 3DS specific thing where it like pinpointed where your 3DS was originally powered on. And so this is ultimately the first time to get pretty much all of them with your own trainer ID.
In luxury balls.
Except for the Pokeball pattern.
Except for which was only event anyways.
Which is going to be the 7-star raid.
Perfect. They added that, which was a very nice surprise.
Also cool that when you are union circling with people who have invited different Vivian to their Paldea regions, then you can see all of the different Vivian. Yeah, you can host little catch parties.
Surprisingly, there was no updates or bug fixes to co-op. I'm still shocked to the day that the co-op works. I mean,
I've had fun with it.
Yeah, that is not in the game, and that works. I've tried it, and it seems fine. Except there was a Reddit post that popped up that said. that they were doing the Vivian stuff and they went to boot up their game and it was gone. Everything was gone. It acted like a brand new game when they booted it up. And of course, mm-hmm. Reddit comments don't know how to read other Reddit comments. And there's 800 comments being like, did you try the X up B recovery thing? And they were like, yes. And I bless their soul. They're responding to every single one of them. But
yeah, I just go up and say, edit. I've tried the thing.
Yeah,
they did.
For those that don't know, there's like an emergency recovery in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. If you live in the Wild West and you don't have autosave on, for whatever weird reason, Pokemon fans are against autosave, even though like literally every single game in the entire world autosave. But if you like to live on the edge of your seat in this very buggy mess that is Scarlet and Violet, and you're bold enough to turn off autosave and your game crashes, if on the title menu you press a combination of buttons, I think it's X, B, and up, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, it will open up a recovery menu, and that recovery menu will show you a recent save that the game decided to save at that you could restore. That doesn't work if you boot up your game and it thinks it's a brand new video game. That wouldn't work because there would be no recovery save.
I think that it's more that Correct. You boot it up and it boots up to a screen that says save data couldn't be recognized and that you can make a new game.
Oh, I didn't see that screen.
Yeah, you can make a new game on a different profile. And what shows up when you try to boot up your game on your profile is that screen saying save data can't be recognized. And so there are some people really, really hoping that if this can be fixed, that if they just don't delete their save data,
got it,
then maybe they'll be able to get back in someday.
Yeah. Side note, the way that the game decides whether or not to recover your data with the emergency menu is usually just by talking to like a Nurse Joy. That's usually when the game decides to save on its own in the background without telling you. That's usually where it pulls the recovery from, is either like entering, I think it's like entering a building, not flying, but entering a building and or talking to Nurse Joy are like the two almost guaranteed save points. Anyways,
not applicable here.
Because the person said they did Vivian last, a bunch of people were like, don't do the Vivian because that's causing you to lose the data. There were a couple people. When I say a couple, I really mean like I read the whole thread because I wanted to see if there
bored.
Was answers. When I say a couple, I mean like three or four people that were like they were also doing the Vivian. Then it happened. And then if you dive deeper, there were a bunch of people that said they never even touched the Vivian. They don't even play Pokemon Go, and they had the same issue.
And it happened right after they booted up, after they had updated.
And then Joe Serebii, Mr. Joe Serebii, tested the Vivian on a other non-main account that he had. And from his research, it didn't seem to be the Vivian causing the problem. Because he thought maybe that if there were two different Vivians because the game couldn't remember which one to load, that was inherently causing the data corruption. And he got it to have two different Vivians on the same screen. Also, a handful of people said they didn't even touch the Vivian. They're having the same issue. So it's really hard to say that, like, oh, the Vivian's causing the issue when we know a handful of people never even touched it and they're having the same exact issue. So I think more likely it would just be something to do with 1.2 and not specifically Vivian.
I do think it is definitely an update issue, that if you haven't updated, this hasn't been an issue. But the way I've been reading it, and I've been keeping a close eye on that thread because I'm very scared of this kind of thing happening, is that it seems to be something that happens either right after you get the update or right after you connect and do the Vivian thing and then save and close your game, and then you boot it up to find this screen and find that you can't access your save file anymore. This does seem like it's still a very small number of people. So far, only 25, 30 people, but still more every day. But right now, I am mostly just not doing the Vivian stuff myself, and I don't know. If you want to do it, I would say maybe make a side profile for it.
I don't think hey, avoiding the Vivian's,
like, it's going away, right? Like, they're not going to remove the functionality. You can wait.
Yeah. Yeah, but you want to get the Gimme Ghoul stuff and go, potentially. If you are someone who wants to get the Gimme Ghoul stuff and go.
I mean, I want the Gimme Ghoul stuff. But this is why I don't want to, like, fearmonger, because there's literally nothing. We can't even say it's the Vivian stuff, because we know that there's a handful of people that never touched it that have the same issue, right? Like, so it's like, I can't even be like, well, play the entire game, just don't do Vivian, because...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how honest people are, how much they're remembering. They may have done the Vivian thing and said, oh, it happened after that 24-hour thing had passed. Like, again, to draw conclusions from people anecdotal evidence is not a great way to draw conclusions about what is actually happening. So, I mean, proceed with caution. But the things that people seem to just play the game, right?
Like,
yeah, the people seem to think that there is the connection is a common thread for a lot of people. So if you can wait a week to see if Nintendo actually responds and says, oh, we've found the bug and we fixed it, or we've been able to replicate the bug and we fixed it. Like, I don't think there's any problem of saying, don't do the Vivian thing for a week to see, because we have a lot of people saying it's very specifically tied to that.
Not a lot of people, less than 10.
Yeah, but how many people are reporting the bug?
Somewhere between 20 and 30, I think, at this point.
I mean, that's a third of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's also equal amount of people saying they never touched Vivian. They never interacted with it at all. They don't even have Pokemon Go accounts.
I think it's very possible that this could be happening at two different points, that it could be happening either when you do the Vivian stuff or right after the update.
Right. So, like, I've done the update. I've done the Vivian stuff twice. I haven't had any issues. I'm not saying, like, okay, like, I'm just saying that no one can give you, like, don't do this.
And it's a very, very small number of people so far.
Right. I guess if you're worried, just don't play the game, but I don't want to tell people not to play the game. right, like, we just don't know what's causing it.
Yeah, I mean, if you are concerned, I will say this, if you are concerned, don't play the game for a week. Like, you can survive a week, and hopefully they will acknowledge it within the week. Otherwise, at that point, if they can't track it down in a week to say this is what's causing that bug, then it's not very widespread, and you are just taking the risk that an unknown amount of factors that they can't track down is causing it.
Again, I don't want to come off as fear-mongering like some people and be like, well, just don't play the game or the game is busted, because, like, there's nothing that is narrowing it down to what it could be. When Sword and Shield first came out, there was an issue where the game would crash or you would lose everything, right? And that was the National Dex people back at the time were, like, looking for anything to throw Sword and Shield under the bus because they absolutely hated it. And they were like, look, Game Freak can't even program a proper game and it's crashing. There were five other games having the same issue, one of them being Super Smash Brothers, whatever the one on Switch is. I'm sorry, I can't remember it because I'm not Smash. But there was Smash Brothers, Sword and Shield, and then three other games. And it had nothing to do with those games. It had to do with people not formatting the SD card in the proper way the SD card needs to be formatted for the Nintendo Switch. Therefore, the game data would eventually get corrupted. And again, I have no clue if that is related to this update, where, like, maybe their SD card is not formatted correctly, and finally the update did that. So it's tough. Like, there will always be issues with, like, I remember specifically one of my mods in Twitch. When Pokemon Home updated for BDSP and for Legends, they went to update it, they got completely stuck, and it bricked their entire Switch system. They lost everything. Everything from Sword and Shield, everything from BDSP, which probably actually was probably a good thing there, everything from Legends, everything from Let's Go Pikachu, every other non-Pokemon game they had, they lost because the update to Pokemon Home that they were downloading bricked their system. And I am sure that happened to other people, but I'm also sure that we can't 100% narrow it down to Pokemon Home causing that issue. It could have just been the SD card failed at that moment in time, and that SD card failing when the download happened caused it to brick. Again, we just spent the first 45 minutes of this episode being like, this update didn't seem super great, and this update seemed bad. But we just don't have enough data here to be like Vivian or the 1.2 update is causing the issue. It sucks. It super sucks. And hopefully they say something, but I don't know. Like, are people suddenly getting it now? Or, I mean, if people are getting it specifically after updating to 1.2, that would be more realistic because people might not just be updating. Like, people might have picked the game up after a week and like, okay, I have to do the update now to log back in.
I'm pretty sure all of them have been after 1.2. I'm pretty sure every single one has.
Yeah.
But it's still a very small number of people.
Right. And there's a lot of games that are sold, right? So, like, the more people that own the game, the more issues you hear from a small amount just because there are more people. Like, what did Sword and Shield sold, like, what, 26 million, and we're 3 months out, and Scarlet and Violet have sold 23 million or something insane like that. Yeah, and I can't even be like, we can't even on the show be like, well, do this, this, and this before you start up to ensure, like, the best performance. Like, I don't know.
We don't know.
Like, make sure you have a... If Pokemon Home existed at this point, we could be like, hey, move all your good Pokemon to Pokemon Home, continue playing the game. If it crashed, at least your Pokemon are safe. But Pokemon Home doesn't exist right now. They said spring, and it's not spring yet.
That's my big worry. I want to keep my distribution Pokemon safe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it is what it is, and hopefully they acknowledge it. Hopefully something happens, and hopefully, maybe, those people who've had it happen can get it reversed. That is the ultimate hope there.
Yep.
I have no hope in reversal. As somebody who worked for a big tech company for 5 years and watched people lose their data every single day,
that's fair.
There's not a lot of reversal that happens when data gets corrupted. I mean, hopefully, maybe. But
hey, if there's a cloud, something maybe sometimes, but rarely, no.
Yeah. Again, that probably leads to a bigger question of like why Pokemon doesn't sync to Nintendo Cloud, but
yeah,
I think that
there's a lot of questions.
I think that's also like send all your Pokemon to home, restore from the cloud backup 10 minutes ago. Now you have double of every Pokemon within minutes, and they would have to work to implement a system like that. Why would they do that when they could just charge you $15 a year to use their dedicated system? I'm not defending it. It sucks.
Just you're not expecting a great outcome. That's
No. I really don't expect
a ton of people.
I don't expect a recovery feature. I don't remember, Greg, the Kalos thing when Lumio City had that bug where it would crash.
Yeah,
there
that's
was
what
no
this reminded me of.
There was no recovery feature there either.
There is no recovery from that. That was a dead and gone.
How long did it take for reports to pop up of like within a week? I think
it was within a week,
and then it took them
and
another.
They acknowledged it pretty fast,
and then they fixed it within another week. I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost been a week since 1.2. So if it is an actual issue with 1.2, hopefully they would acknowledge it this week, and then if they did, with Lumio City, that was an easy fix. It was don't save. In Lumio City.
In Lumio City. Well, specifically, don't save outside in Lumio City, because you could save in the Pokemon Center, and it was fine.
Yes,
it was,
the Pokemon Center was the safe spot.
If you were outside in the big city and you saved, you were boned.
Okay, so here's my advice. If your game is still working as of this recording, just keep saving in that same spot. If you end your session, just go to the spot that seemed to work.
Just go right back to where you were.
And save there.
Put marks on the floor.
Do you guys save in the same spot, though? I feel like I usually fly to a Pokemon Center and then save there.
Really?
Yeah.
I save wherever.
Okay.
I rarely move. So I've been at the same Pokemon Center for a month and a half.
I'm not sure I've ever saved at a Pokemon Center. Maybe once during my playthrough.
Yeah, I feel like I cannot get rid of that habit that I had from a... So because of the old games, you had to be in a Pokemon Center to connect to...
Like trading.
I think it was Stadium, and I think it was also Coliseum. You had to be in a Pokemon Center. I just have always saved there, and I have never bothered to break that habit, because why? I usually go heal up, and then I'm like, well, I'm done. Save. It's the thing I do in Final Fantasy 14. I will fly back to the main city, go get my armor repaired, and then log out. Like, these are the things that I just do. This is my habit.
Yeah, I mean, I always used to go to the very center of the Pokeball, or as close as I could get in the old games, and save in the Pokemon Center. But ever since it's been on the Switch, it's just wherever.
It's just all bets are off now.
Yeah, I think in Legends I would always save in the town near the gate.
Yeah.
Huh.
I would sometimes save in my house.
Oh, I never saved in my house.
Because that was like being in a Pokemon Center.
Yeah, I think I saved in my house here and there. But most of the time, no. I had a funny habit in Legends that whenever I would go to report my Pokédex things or go to report to my higher-ups, I would always make sure to go and change back into my uniform before doing that. So I went into my house in Legends all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Speaking of your house, let's talk about Pokémon Sleep real quick. Oh, where's my Pokémon Sleep news?
We're skipping over my thoughts on the trailer. It's even on the notes.
Oh, it's on the notes? Yeah, Greg, as I find my sleep notes, I don't know where I put them. What were your thoughts on the trailer?
It was fine. I'm excited for the new legendaries. I'm not excited at fall and winter for timings. I'm a little bummed that they're both like, you go on an exchange shoot, like you're going somewhere else. I'm kind of mad on the fact that the first one doesn't answer any of the open-ended questions that we have for Area Zero, and that will hopefully happen in winter. I find it a little weird that they're like, well, we're done with Spain, we're going back to Japan for the first thing. Like, you're now a foreign exchange student, and we're sending you somewhere completely different.
I heard people wanted those Johto remakes.
I think the new legendaries look cool. I think the Pokemon that they showed look cool. I'm curious if they're going to follow. It feels like they're following sort of the same path of one being more competitive focused and one being more legendary focus. I didn't get a great sense that they're dividing the storylines amongst the two, that they're similarly following the armor and crown tundra feel of them. I think the new outfits are bad. They're nothing burger. Like,
you're talking about the free outfits that you get?
The free school
just
outfits
more
are
uniforms.
Bad.
Not free. You have to buy the DLC.
Yeah, I mean, you have to buy the DLC. I think the new turtle looks great. I think the people that are like flipping out that there will not be any new Pokemon types because of the back of a legendary turtle, ignoring the fact that there's stuff on the sides. Like, look, people, you are working yourselves up into a frenzy for no good reason.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You are basing things off of nothing. I'm excited for Pokemon Concierge. I think that looks cute. I'm very much on the fence about Pokemon Sleep. They broke Unite terribly. Don't care about Cafe Remix.
Well,
I
if you don't connect
Masters
Vivian to Unite, I think it's okay.
It's not. It's so broken right now. I like the pairs that they introduced for Master ZX. I think that part was really good. And we'll talk about Sleep. Overall, I was like, okay, this is what I expected exactly from this, and there was nothing in there that apart from Pokemon Concierge, which I thought, oh, you're making something brand new, I guess. That was cool, but everything else is like, this is pretty much what I expected, and I'm not overly wowed by any of it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were wowed about Sleep. I felt Sleep was actually 50-50, honestly. What a bad transition. I felt like either you were into Sleep or you were upset that Sleep took so much time out of this presents. You were on either end of the fence. So they first announced Sleep in May of 2019. It is scheduled to officially launch in summer of 2023 for iOS and Android. Sorry, Windows Phone users. The Pokemon Go++ is real. It's coming out. It is at the...
It's big.
It's big. It is
it's kind of
obnoxiously
chunky.
Big.
I mean...
Like, I pre-ordered one because I want the ability to use other balls when I'm walking around the Mall of America and I do not care about catching anymore. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I run out of regular Pokeballs and it's like, we're done, has always made me mad. So I ordered it just for that. But the size of it makes me feel self-conscious about, I want to hide it in a pocket so that people don't see me clicking this giant weird button all the time.
I want to see you click it.
The size of it feels good for Pokemon Sleep and bad for Pokemon Go.
Correct. And since I am still iffy about sleep and what they're doing with my privacy data,
I mean I have a case on this. As you can see, the case is starting to shift. I'm sorry, audio listeners. I'm just holding up a Pokeball Plus, the one for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. This is pretty big, though.
Yeah.
It's big and round, and you can hold it easily in the palm of your hand. Like, close it in your hand. Well, yours is too big because you put another thing around it. But you can hold it in your hand, and it looks like you're holding a tiny ball. Like, it is hidden in the palm of your hand. This thing... does not easily, it is the size of the palm of your hand, from what I can tell.
It's big, is it? They got measurements somewhere.
It's big.
I thought we were going to talk about the price, not the size of it.
Well, the price is another thing altogether. It's overpriced, but it is a big, chunky thing.
Yeah. Using it for Pokemon Sleep, I'm comfortable with the size. Using it for Pokemon Go, it's going to be a little inconvenient, except for the fact that it sounds like it will be able to auto-throw normal Pokeballs. So if I'm going to use normal Pokeballs, I think I could just put it in a bag or put it in a pocket if I had pockets that size.
Yeah. does it have measurements
here? I mean,
here?
It's 2.5 inches in diameter. That's big.
It weighs 0.29 pounds.
And it's thick. It is big and it's thick.
So it is more expensive than I thought it was going to be. If we recall the Pokemon Go Plus, which is Hannah as being featured here again. Sorry, audio listeners. It's just you don't have to. Well, you can come to YouTube if you want. It's just the Pokeball. Yeah. We've seen it for like seven years. You've seen it. That device was $35 originally when it came out, and if you remember correctly, it sold out instantly. It sold out everywhere, and it instantly went up to $100, $120 on eBay and stuff. Now, the nice thing about that device is you could just order a German one or a Japanese one or a Korean one because they were exactly the same. The only thing difference was the box it came in. There were fake ones that went around at some point, but they're impossible to find now. It was introduced 7 years ago. Pokemon Go is 7 years, I think, old. Maybe 8.
Nearing it.
Yeah. And then when Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee came out, the Pokeball Plus, these names are very cleverly named, that came out, and that worked with Pokemon Go, and that was $50. $15 more expensive. On the flip side, though...
It's a whole controller.
It's a whole Joy-Con. It worked with Poke. It was a whole controller that worked.
And it had a Mew in it.
That was the controversy of paying $35, $50 for a Mew. We cannot go down that argument again.
We're not going back into that.
Those people were wrong. Now, this is $55, and I will say I'm very happy that it has USB-C, which the Pokeball Go Plus also had USB-C. I would always pay extra for that instead of what micro USB or whatever people are using.
Yeah.
This does have sleep sensing in it. I don't know how much that is worth, but obviously this can still go under your pillow.
You don't need a whole lot for sleep sensing.
And then you have the functionality.
Does it go under your pillow, or is it supposed to go just next to you?
I thought they said under originally when they showed it off.
I feel like under
trailers,
your pillow, you're
they
rolling
show
on...
it as just next to you.
Well, they got
to
show it next to you. They got to get it in the shot.
And my concern is I have dogs. So is he going to register my dogs walking around on the bed?
Your dog's
going to
eat it, isn't he? Are you gonna just like chew on it, like pick it up and take it somewhere?
Why would they? They don't grab our stuff. Well, Kaiju grabs gloves. But they don't tend to like, they've never shown any interest in like, I'm going to bite that controller or I'm going to eat those wires. Like, they do have a sense of like,
I'm going to bite that mouse.
Thing we should do. They're not cats.
It can use great balls, ultra balls. That has nothing to do with the price. That's just finally fixing
a bug for as far as I'm concerned. But of course it got me to buy it.
Apparently there's a speaker in it too. Which you could say the Poco Ball, the first one doesn't have any sound, right? I don't remember. I think it vibrates.
No, correct. Not that I remember.
It does vibrate.
The Pokeball Plus, it would light up per which Pokemon you... I don't know if people knew this, but if you put like a Pikachu in it, it would light up yellow. If you put like a Bulbasaur in it, it would light up green. I don't know if anyone actually knew that, but that worked. It would also have the Pokemon's cry. So if you put Zacian in it, I actually don't know what color Zacian would light up. I would assume like a silver, but maybe a blue. But it would make Zacian's cry. And then they all vibrate. I'm assuming this vibrates. It doesn't actually say if this vibrates. I'm assuming this vibrates, though.
Probably for Pokemon Go, hopefully not for Pokemon Sleep.
Unless it vibrates to wake you up.
That could be nice.
You think there's going to be an alarm function?
Yeah. They said that Pikachu will wake you up. He'll go like, Pika, Pika.
And that you can earn different alarms as you play the game.
Oh.
Yeah. So now that, gosh, this device is big. Maybe that girl's hand is just very tiny.
No, she is 7'8".
So it sounds like we all got it. It did sell out instantly the first day, and then finally GameStop and Target got them in stock. As of recording this, GameStop still has pre-orders open. It's supposed to come out July 14th or July 15th. I did pre-order a couple just because I do think once I think obviously you can pre-order it right now, at least of this recording, but I do think the impulse buy for Go players once it's in a store will make it hard to find.
Yeah.
For maybe a month or two. So if you are a Go player or if you really want to get into sleep, I do encourage pre-ordering it. I don't work for the I'm getting no commission off this. I'm just saying if you're looking for this device, maybe pre-order it because based on the last two devices,
they're very hard to find otherwise
for quite a while. And then when they were easier to find, they became hard to find very quickly after. So $55 is a bit of money, but you're getting a physical hardware device that works with, at least we know, two apps, and one app it's pretty important for, which is the sleep app. An easy pass, though, if you don't play Pokemon Go or you don't plan on playing Pokemon Sleep, a very easy save your $55. I think Sleep is exactly what I thought they were going to show, though. Like, when they showed it, I was like, there's no surprises here. Like, you unlock different Pokemon. It can wake you up. Yep, you get a bar graph when you're done. It's cool that, like, you get a free Snorlax with a sleep cap in Pokemon Go, I guess. $55 for a Snorlax.
$55 for a hat.
It's not
Snorlax.
Even a
is
mythical
even
Pokemon. They used
it's
to give
a
us...
mythical.
So yeah, if you want Snorlax with a hat, I don't know, $55 for just that. I hope there's more surprises with sleep. I hope
they
there's...
have said that there will be other functionality related to Pokemon Go.
Oh, okay.
They have said that. That was in the trailer. No idea what it's going to be, but there is going to be more sleep functionality related to Pokemon Go that is coming.
I think her hand is tiny.
She is 8'7".
Pokemon Sleep.
She's holding a plate.
Is exactly what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And I wish they hadn't changed the logo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm confused the why it's only the first two generations of Pokemon for the most part.
So you gotta pay extra, Hannah. You gotta pay. Oh, wait. Yeah. Maybe that is actually true.
I want there to be Wooloo in the sleep game. Right after Pokemon Sleep was announced, I went and bought Wooloo pajamas off the Pokemon Center website, and I want Wooloo in my sleep game.
I was trying to make a very low hanging fruit joke about paying for extra Pokemon, but there's no way this game doesn't have microtransactions,
no,
right?
This is a microtransaction. Banana. Well, they could give it to you for free because they're selling your life's blood to corporate America.
Yeah. But even Magikarp Jump, I think Magikarp Jump was free, right?
Magikarp Jump was free. What was the logo before?
It was just, it didn't have the Snorlax in it.
It wasn't as blue.
Magikarp Jump, I think I only put $5 or maybe $6 into. There was like a like first week package, like welcome kit or something that was like $5. And I think I bought that.
You always fall for that show.
Yeah, look, always.
Always fall for like, this gets me nothing, but I'm going to pay $5
because
you
something.
Are like, you
I
are the Pokemon
Greg,
tax.
I don't remember what it gave me, but because I gave them $5, Pokemon Company believed in Select Button and they were like, look it, this dude gave him $5. Make Pokemon sleep. You've made $5 from this app, from this one guy. We trust you with more Pokemon software. That was me. I did that. I made Pokemon sleep a reality because I supported
Magikarp
Jump.
This is how the conversation went. There are suckers who'll pay for this. Oh, absolutely. You think we can sucker them into other things? For sure. They paid $5 for a game where all you do is jump, and you could have just done that for free. Just for free. And feed fish and make them jump out of the water. Literally for free at any lake in a large upper Midwestern area. But this sucker said, yeah, I'll pay $5 for that. I'll play it for 2 days. $5? I'll throw it on a fire, of course.
I don't know what I paid for.
Microtransaction sleep up to 1,000,000%.
Magikarp Jump is a top 20 Pokemon game, and there's probably at least 80 Pokemon games.
A lot of people do have fond memories of it. A good time for a short while.
I would play Magic if I was forced to an island and my choices were Colosseum, Gale of Darkness, and Magikarp Jump. I wouldn't even think about it. Magikarp Jump is the game I'm picking. You get like a blue Magikarp in that game. It's tight. You get a pink one. You get a black Magikarp. When is that stuff going to come to Scarlet and Violet? When can I get...
Never! Those are all regional forms that they aren't telling you about.
I'm excited for sleep. I think that's...
One other thing about sleep that I'm curious about is that they say that you can get these different Pokemon by sleeping in different sleeping styles. And I'm very curious if you're someone who just sleeps consistently in the same way, which is supposedly the best way to sleep, if you're going to be bad at this game.
Yeah, what does that mean? What does sleeping in different sleeping styles mean?
No idea.
There's a
lot of... You must be on your back. How would it know?
Well, different timing, different... Yeah, movement.
So I have the Google, I don't even know what they're called, Nest Display 2 that has sleep tracking in it. So the Google Nest Display, I don't even know what they're called. They're like, it looks like a tiny iPad that's like stuck that you can't pick up and move because it plugs into the wall directly. There's like, yeah. And then it shows you like your lights are on, or you can be like, hey, I don't want to activate people's things. You can be like, hey, thingy, like turn up the temperature in the
thingy.
House. Right. And it shows you if your doors are unlocked. It shows you all that. The second one that it came out with had sleep sensing in it. So there's a little sensor at the top and there's like a little plastic switch you can technically cover it with if you're concerned about privacy. Not that that matters. Google already knows everything about you. That it watches you sleep, and then in the morning, it'll say, like, it's pretty accurate, too. It'll say, like, you moved around from here. It sends it to your phone, too.
Is it a camera, or is it just
a not
a
camera.
Okay.
It's like a IR. Sure.
Oh, motion sensor kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a motion sensor thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's not a camera.
Wink. Yeah. But it's pretty accurate, except for the fact that, like, sometimes if I got up, it would read the other person and still mm-hmm. think I'm sleeping, right? Because mm-hmm. it's just looking across the bed. And then sometimes it would be like, you moved a lot. And I was like, no, that was my cat that
yeah,
kept like running.
That's the thing. I have dogs.
Right.
That's the reason that the most accurate sleep trackers are going to be something like an Apple Watch or something like a Ring, things that are on your person specifically.
Yeah.
And this is not going to beat that. It's not going to be as accurate as things like that.
Yeah. And I was pretty like okay with it for like a week or two. And then I just stopped looking at it because I couldn't do anything with the data. Like You slept terribly. Yeah. I didn't need you to tell me that. I feel terrible right now.
I feel bad. Thanks.
And it's like, well, sleep better. I was like, okay. I didn't like.
Why?
Like, I'm sorry. I got into a fist fight at Target today. I don't know how to sleep better after that. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you can't. It's like, well, sleep better. It's like, well, my day was super stressful. I don't know how to not have a super stressful day and then think about it before I'm falling asleep, right? That being said, you know, I've tried sleep things in the past. I've tried to wear like a wristband thing to bed. I've tried the app. I can't sleep with an Apple Watch. I just, some people can. I cannot.
I'm a person. I learned this with earrings and I learned this with rings that I will take them off in the middle of my, in the night. Because I'm tired, I'm asleep, but I'm like, why are these things here? And I will rip them off. I've ripped earrings out of my ears. I've ripped rings off my fingers. I'm like, I need to be in a very specific way. And like having something on my wrist is a no-go.
Yeah, I can't.
I just can't pull it off and chuck it across the room.
I am excited for sleep, but I, like I said on the show probably a couple weeks ago, I'm more excited just for the plus itself. Because even if sleep is a bust for me, I feel like I still have this product I can use with another app.
And it's nice that they did make some improvements to it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I'll compare the plus to the Google thingy. I don't even know what the Google thing's called, but I'll compare the two to
Google
see.
Google Sleep, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it.
Google Snooze.
All right. Last bit of news here. I know there's a bunch of news. I know we really didn't talk about Unite or anything like that. It's just
Unite's broken.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost slightly fixed now because they did finally put an emergency hotfix in for Zacian.
The old emergency hotfix.
Yeah, because it was bugged.
I think we're 3 for 3 for pretty good community days this year. Knowing that we might also get Fennekin and we also might get Froakie, which, all right, look, I know there's like 20 people out there that like Fennekin, but a lot of people like Froakie. Like Greninja's very...
I love Fennekin.
Greninja's very popular. I think this is a great community day. This is the Slowpoke and Galarian Slowpoke community day on March 18th from 2 to 5. And I think this community day would have been a big bust for a lot of people if it was just Slowpoke.
Yeah.
But I think doing both is way, way more exciting and I think way more fun. And I think it does keep people out longer. I think they could have gotten away with just Slowpoke because you got Slowpoke, Slowbro, Slowking, and then you got Mega Slowbro. Also, just a fun fact, I saw people being like, oh, when Slowbro evolves into Slowking, it doesn't get as cool. They don't evolve. let's just a reminder that it split evolution here. So you get Slowpoke into Slowbro or Slowpoke into Slowking, and then you get Galarian Slowpoke into Galarian Slowking and Galarian Slowpoke into Galarian Slowbro. And then you get on top of Mega Slowbro, which cannot come from Galarian Slowbro, only from... Yeah, so there's a lot. I don't think they needed to do both, but I think doing both is a huge W. I think that's like the best way to do it. It's very exciting. Slowpoke is a terrible shiny.
Yeah.
Slowbro, Slowking, Galarian Slowpoke, Galarian evolutions, all good shinies. Very, very good. Slowpoke itself is bad, though.
Yeah.
It will know the exclusive move Surf. For $1, you can get access to the storyline. Three times catching XP, which is really good because Slowpoke is great for excellent throws. Twice the candy for trainers over level 31. Incense will last 3 hours. An additional special trade for a maximum of 2. Twice the catch candy. Lure modules.
You went straight from the $1 into the free things and
oh.
made me worry that the catch candy and XP was going to be locked behind a dollar there for a second.
I was reading the event bonuses that had nothing to do with the one. We don't know what the $1 comes with yet.
Yeah, the $1 is just the research. The bonuses are still there for free.
It is do a story to get the exact same Pokemon that is spawning currently in the wild.
Yeah, but it's higher IVs. So if you care about that, that's a guaranteed chance at higher IVs.
Come on. This is basic 101. Higher IVs. Lure modules will last 3 hours. You get snapshot. Who will be the surprise during the snapshot, Greg? Who will be the surprise?
Man, I hope it's Pikachu in a Galarian Slowpoke hat.
Trades will require 50% less. Here's why. here's why this whole episode has been like people are wrong, right? You know, here's what Niantic should
has
do.
It?
Yeah. Totally. 100%, right? Here's what Niantic should do. They can't do it though because people are constantly wrong and they don't appreciate fun. And the reason I say this is because during the Hoenn tour, there were the spooky ciphers and they were great. They were field researches that had like little X's. You're shaking your head. No, they're not great.
They were not great.
They were fun. There was only four of them. Once you figured them out, it was like, oh.
You have the lowest bar of fun when it comes to Pokemon than anybody else I know.
Why do you both hate fun?
It's sprayed acid in my face. It's fun. It was Pokemon acid spray. I loved it.
I love acid spray.
Also
such a good
ripped
move.
All my skin off. I loved it. Why are you both shaking your heads? You only look slightly disfigured. What's your problem? It's Pokemon. It's fun.
Come on down. Okay. The spooky cipher I thought was like a very clever, like kind of cute. There was only four of them. So once you...
I will give you kind of cute.
It
would have been cooler if they hadn't had things go wrong and look almost exactly like that before when they were glitchy.
Okay. Correct. Okay. So let's pretend we all agreed that the spooky cipher was a great idea. It was very cute and very thematic to the spooky Pokemon they assigned to. Because I think all of them gave like Sableye or Duskull. These headphones keep making my hair pop up. What they should do for Slowpoke Community Day is they should start it an hour late. And that would be great and thematic and fun, but we can't have fun because Niantic messes up too much and people would complain. But Slowpoke Community Day should start late because that makes sense and that would be fun. But people would be like, it's 2:15, where are the Slowpoke? But it would it would make so much sense. It would be good.
I mean, by that logic, it should not start until a week later. They should say it's on the 18th, but not start to the following.
I'm also into that too.
Like, how, in what universe is that fun? In what universe? It's like, hey, can you come over and help me move at 4? Sure. You show up at 5. I'm just a slow folk. I'm wacky fun. You needed to be here an hour ago. I was counting on you. What is that fun? How is that fun? I ruined your expectations and your day. I'm wacky fun.
Yes. What's the issue? That's zany.
The issue is clear communication.
Knows. Slowpoke? Hannah knows.
Sometimes when you're working with a client like Slowpoke, you have the expectation that you might be a little late.
No,
if they announced that
person,
it would be an hour later, then that might be kind of funny.
There is no person that enjoys working with a client who constantly is an hour behind deadlines.
Slowpoke is that client.
I need this up. So
do you think after 27 years, Slowpoke is good, just suddenly going to be on time?
This is why people tell Slowpoke your community day starts at 8 a.m. You lie to these people. You lie to those clients. Believe me, we have lied to you about start times things in hopes that you might show up on time.
I am frequently late. Yeah, that's true.
So
except when I need to be on time. Will was like, hey, can we go to the airport? I was there 20 minutes early. He was shocked. I was like, I don't mess around. You need
the fact that he was shocked tells everybody listening to this what you need to know. Because most likely Will told you an earlier time.
Yeah, maybe. I was so early I had time to get coffee and then go to Will's house. If you need to get to the airport, I'll get you to the airport on time. I'm just saying that's where the reliability comes in. Anyways, Slowpoke is the community day. And also, they'll do the 4-star raid things again, where Slowpoke will show up in 4-star raids. You defeat them.
I may need because I might end up showing up late to this one.
Oh, who's the Slowpoke? You're the Slowpoke.
No, I have an appointment at 1:00.
You're the. Yeah, that's pretty much it for today's episode. We're a little over time, a little over 90 minutes, but. I know there's a million more things we can talk about, but there was always next week. I think next week we can spend a little time talking about Unite, since hopefully there'll be another update.
It'll all be fixed.
Yeah.
And Gudra's coming, and we can talk about Gudra.
We can talk about that weird Lapras, too. Also, Sableye gets really good skins in Unite. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, I do not like the new Circus one. It is so bad.
Oh, I like it. I thought you would like it. It's way better than that Lapras one. That Lapras skin is awful. We'll talk about it next
time. The Lapras, everything about Lapras is bad right now. That's just bad. The whole thing is bad.
All right. Well, thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Greg. We made it to the end. If you're watching on YouTube,
welcome me back after being shut out and fired from the show. So I had to
I'm sure the YouTube comments will be, where's Will, even though we've explained multiple times. If you're watching on YouTube, comment if you're getting Pokemon Sleep or not, or if you just care about the Plus Plus. I'd be curious to know. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leaving a review is incredibly helpful. It is the start of the month, so if you want to support and get bonus episodes, patreon.com/pkmncast will get you there. Or I think ise.gay works as well. So if you want to, somebody bought that domain, but if you want to support, ise.gay will get you to the Greg is furiously testing it out right now.
I am going to, because you're lying to people.
I'm not. Why would I fall? Did it work?
It went to the Patreon.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah.
That's the point.
If you want to buy a zany domain as well. No, I think on Twitch we were talking about how like the cool domains like .bike, well .bike's not that cool, but like .cool, .bike, .whatever, like they're always really cheap for the first year. They're like 99 cents, but then the second year they're like $40 or $50 a year, but they get you in that first year real cheap. ISE.cash is still works as well, which I got scammed into that one. It was $1 for the first year. Now it's like $40 a year to keep the .cash, but I've been saying it too long. I got to commit.
You don't have to. You can just say it's being, you can do the groundwork of saying I'm shutting it down because they are charging me too much cash.
Too much cash for ISE.
Just call them and say, you know what, this is a ripoff, and they will probably rediscount you for a year.
That's true. I just did that with Adobe. I was not actually planning on canceling Photoshop, but I knew we could get into some. That's what I wanted to do on my Friday morning. I want to negotiate with the Adobe rep about paying less for Photoshop. Sign me up.
It's the way of the world.
We'll be back next week. Another Monday episode for you guys. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
All but one of us are waiting in suspense for the second DLC, but not the first. Super effective.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Gray, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.